And we are live on Facebook. I am Chris Graham, and joining you from my new improved podcast studio, Street Knowledge Studios here in Waynesboro, Virginia, off of a fresh little sort of mental break. We get the beach OBX last week, and it was great to just get out and hear the waves crashing and get some sun baked in. Got a few runs in around OBX on the flatland there. And it felt normal. First time in months that life has felt normal, which was just awesome. Got to go to some of our favorite places. My wife and I, Goombays and Black Pelican are our two favorite places. Barefoot Bernie's, High Cotton, just, and of course, Duck Donuts every morning. And we had our good friends, Jeff Fife, his wife, Fiona, Jeff's son, Carson, along with us. And we were spoiled, man. We stayed on the beach. First time in my life I've ever rented a house right on the beach. And that will never not do that again now, man. That was incredible. Just opening up the door and the beach is right there. I don't think I'll ever go back from that experience. So that was awesome. We'll be doing that probably from here on out whenever we go to the beach. But it's also great to be back home. And it's Labor Day, of course. And man, you think about it, the way the schedule had worked out years ago, I think this game was first scheduled in 2017, the UVA-Georgia game, now scuttled because of COVID-19. Tonight would have been the night. We'd be getting ready. It's 4:40 as I'm talking live right here, right now. We'd be getting ready for UVA in Georgia. And instead, another big game coming up to start the season. It's still 12 days away, but September 19th, Virginia opens with Virginia Tech on the road down in Blacksburg. And so we'll be joining in. There are a couple more calls with video conference calls with assistant coaches. Bronco Mendenhall was late last week. But today was Nick Howell. We'll have a story about that tomorrow morning. Also, Robert and I, and I'm trying to think who else is on the Ricky Brumfield, the special teams coach, the three coordinators, basically, as we wrap up. And then after that, we'll be talking game prep, game week, starting next Monday, joining in with Coach Mendenhall and some players getting ready for Virginia Tech. So, yeah, it's coming up, man. Tell you what, it's right here, basically. upon us, which is nice. And really for the sake of, being a sports fan, it's an interesting time right now. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, anything else you want me to jump into, please feel free to comment. I'll be monitoring the Facebook page, as we go through here, the next half hour, 45 minutes or so talking sports. But yeah, this is after months of no sports, we've kind of got sports in overload now. And I'll say in a good way, I'm a sports guy, but there's a lot going on, a lot to keep up with in sports. And it only gets even more pronounced this coming week. We've got, the ACC, the rest of the ACC will be starting this week. And then, of course, the NFL starts this week. Houston, Kansas City on Thursday, and then a full slate of action on Sunday. And then Monday, a couple games, Pittsburgh, New York, and Tennessee, Denver. So, man, it's coming up on us here. NBA playoffs are in full force. Major League Baseball now, I mean, technically independent race because we're in September, right? So, a lot coming up, of course, with that. And we're focusing here, though, we'll focus on UVA. And, the first thing is, I guess, the quarterback battle. It was interesting, when Virginia went into what would have been spring practice time. They never got a spring practice. One of three ACC schools not to have a single spring practice, UVA, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, those three. It looked like it was Brennan Armstrong's job just guaranteed. I mean, the understudy for 2 years, redshirt sophomore, he played in a few games in 2018, but not enough to burn the redshirt. And so Armstrong, it was his job. I mean, in the program for 2 years, really three springs. And then, no spring this spring, no spring practice this spring. And then in May, Virginia signed a grad transfer from Mississippi State, Keaton Thompson. And an interesting young man, skill set wise, is Keaton Thompson. I mean, he's a guy that, he's got 2 years of eligibility left as a grad transfer, graduated in 3 years from Mississippi State. A four-star recruit out of high school, could never solidify the starting job. There was a coaching change. In fact, the coach who'd recruited him, Dan Mullen, leaves and goes to Florida. The gentleman who replaced him has already been fired. You know, now you have Mike Leach bring the air raid offense. And so, I mean, three coaches in 4 years, but a great skill set. Again, Keaton Thompson was the MVP of the Tax Slayer Bowl in 2017, ran for three touchdowns, ran for 147 yards, threw for 127, out Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson in that one. Mississippi State beat Louisville in that one, 31-27 back in 2017. Looked like this kid had a future, was just incredible. I mean, he's a Bryce Perkins clone too. 6'4", 225, great athlete. So when you saw that signing back in May, you had to say, man, Virginia must not be confident in Brennan Armstrong to bring this guy in. And now it looks like, I mean, with Armstrong being named the starting quarterback late last week by Bronco Mendenhall, that others, I thought Thompson was coming in to get this, you know, the great chance to be the starter. They battle through camp. Maybe it's now just about depth. And certainly Virginia needed depth at the quarterback position. The backup would have been Lindell Stone otherwise. Lindell Stone is a senior who's looked at favorably, very favorably by the coaching staff. Jason Beck praising him today. Bronco Mendenhall last week talking about him. I say, Jason, it was actually, I think it was Friday that Jason talked, having to mix my days up here, coming back off vacation. But a lot of praise for Lindell Stone for being a coach on the field, but just not a lot of confidence necessarily in him being able to be the number two guy on the depth chart. Ira Armstead is a true freshman that is really turning heads with the coaching staff. Bronco Mendenhall talked about him a lot last week. Back again, talking about the young man, how quickly he's picking things up. But you go in with a senior that's been around for a while that you don't feel very confident in from a skill standpoint, certainly from a knowledge standpoint, almost a coach on the field standpoint, that's a great thing. But, you know, in a pinch, you don't want to have to rely on a guy like that. And then Ira Armstead, certainly a true freshman. You don't want to rely on a true freshman. So depth with Keaton Thompson, but the starting position goes to Brennan Armstrong, the guy that we thought all along might have been the starting guy. And so Armstrong comes in, and you know, he's the guy that, I mean, he's got a lot backing him up here. He played in 11 games in his two seasons. So one of those a redshirt, 17 of 25 passing, 258 yards, two TDs, one interception. He's not, and you know, a lot of that, of course, comes in garbage time. But then there were two games where he came in interesting situations. The Louisville game was a freshman, Georgia Tech game, I think it was also late in his freshman year, where Bryce Perkins was on the sidelines injured, getting a medical evaluation, and drives were continuing. In both those situations, Armstrong, as a true freshman at that time, led Virginia to scores. The Louisville game, Virginia ended up winning that game, I believe, 27-0. But it was late in the first half, a 3-0 lead, and, you know, it completed out a scoring drive. The Georgia Tech game, folks will remember this, that was one of the two losses at the end of that season to Techs on the road in overtime. He led Virginia to a touchdown on that drive. And so he came in a pinch and did everything and more of what you would expect out of a backup quarterback. So he's battle tested, fire tested, to use the Virginia football terminology, right? He's had that ability. Then he ran the offense a lot in the William & Mary game last year. Got injured at the end of that performance, but he got to run the offense for about a quarter against live action. He put up good numbers. He did throw a pick six, but other than that, I think he was 11 of 12. Other than a pick six, he had pretty good outing against William & Mary in that one. And so now he's a starting quarterback. And it's going to be different, you know. Certainly, the Keaton Thompson, if he had been able to wrest the starting job from Brennan Armstrong, it would have been, you'd think, a lot of similarities in terms of what you'd see out of this offense from what you saw the last couple of years out of Bryce Perkins. Keaton Thompson, a 6'4", 225-pound quarterback with great elite athleticism, elite speed on the perimeter. I think you'd have seen a lot of similarities with – but Armstrong, you know, I don't – we certainly haven't seen them. We haven't seen the scrimmages, but the sense is that you're going to see a little bit more drop-back passing out of Armstrong. He can move the chains with his feet, but I don't know that you're going to see quite the same in terms of play calling from Robert and I, the offensive coordinator. You know, Bryce Perkins had a lot of design runs. I mean, Perkins certainly, when the pocket broke down, when the play broke down, he could create with his feet. In those situations, there were a lot of design runs in that offense for Bryce Perkins the last couple of years. There will be some design runs for Brennan Armstrong, but I'm not sure it's going to be quite the same amount or maybe even the same place. To a degree, it doesn't have to be. Virginia's offensive line is the most experienced in terms of the number of starts among the five returning starters in all of the ACC. So a very veteran offensive line, which is something that Bronco Mendenhall has not had and Coach Anai has not had. And they're now, this is their fifth season. The first four years, it was just patchwork a lot. In part, a lot of the fact that these guys have so many career starts coming into this season is because guys had to start maybe sooner than you'd like them to start. And they did their job, which is great. But now you've got a veteran offensive line. In fact, you've got, you know, you're not only your five starters back, but you've got a two deep of eight guys who've started games. And so you got Wayne Talapapa, the incumbent at running back, Shane Simpson, the Towson grad transfer, who was an FCS All-American 2 years ago before his what would have been his redshirt senior season last year was cut short by injury, granted a six-year of eligibility. You got two top-level running backs back there, which will be helpful. You're missing two key wide receivers. Joe Reed and Hasis Dubois are no longer part of the program. Reed in the NFL. Dubois, for some reason, still looking for a job out there. But, two really top-level college wide receivers are missing. But Terrell Jan is back, brings a lot of catches back to this offense. You've got some guys to build around there. Tavares Kelly certainly comes out of the mind. And then you've got a tight end weapon that Virginia hasn't had for a long time. I don't want to compare him to Heath Miller in the sense of Heath Miller was Heath Miller, man. Heath Miller is a Hall of Famer. But Tony Poljan kind of reminds you a bit skill set-wise, 6'7", 265, former quarterback. So he knows the offense maybe differently than you know some other guys will because he actually played quarterback for 2 years at Central Michigan before he transitioned to tight end last season, was a second-team All-Mac as a tight end in his first season at that position. And so you got more weapons. You got an offensive line that's established. You've got two really good running backs you can rely upon to be your featured back. Virginia's not had that for a while, certainly. And you've got, I think, a deep and talented group of wide receivers. You'll see that this year. And plus, you're an upgrade at tight end. And so this is a good year, you know, to have a quarterback who doesn't have to, you know, to a degree, the last couple of years, the offense was, hey, Bryce, do something. And you don't need Brennan Armstrong to do everything for this offense. He doesn't need to run for 200 yards in a game. He doesn't need to, you know, pull everything out of the air. He can, you know, he can rely on, he's got more weapons, and more diversity of weapons, I think. And he's got the experience in the program, you know, and the depth that's there, you know, Coach Beck talked about how important it is to have a guy as talented as Keaton Thompson right now as the backup. Because this is, you know, the quarterback position, especially in an offense that runs the quarterback as much as Virginia's does, you know, your quarterback's vulnerable. You saw that last year when Brennan Armstrong got injured in the William & Mary game. It's interesting to say this, but when the backup went down, Virginia had to go a bit vanilla offensively with the play calling because you couldn't expose Bryce Perkins anymore without really a reliable backup. And so for a few games, the offense was stagnant, but it was stagnant not as much because it was stagnant. It was stagnant because you had to really dumb down the playbook. And so now with two guys that you can rely on at quarterback, that's helped. You can be a little more daring with your play calling if you're Robert and I. If you're Jason Beck back there, you can be a little you can do some things you maybe wouldn't do otherwise, and that's very helpful. But also, this is the year of COVID, and so if guys, you know, get positive test, have to go into quarantine, whatever the case may be, you're going to want to have a guy who can be a really good 1B in that situation. And that's good having a Keaton Thompson. And he can, you know, in the meantime, Thompson can continue to get reps, continue to learn the offense. And who knows if something happens, Armstrong underperforms, he gets hurt, you know, you're going to need Keaton Thompson to be able to step in. You know, just looking at his pedigree, the four-star at a high school, the he's had the flashes of brilliance at Mississippi State. He's a guy who can definitely contribute. And so, reminder, if you have questions, if you have comments, observations, you want to, you know, say something bad about me, I don't care. Please comment on the Augusta Free Press Facebook. If you're watching this live, of course, if you're listening to the archive either on Facebook or on our podcast Podbean, I should say. I won't be able to answer you right away, but it would love to hear from you in any situation. So other UVA football news and notes. You know, I wrote a column, today's Monday, I'm trying to guess what day it is again. Yesterday, I wrote a column about Bronco Mendenhall, UVA coach, talking about challenges with conditioning as the season opener nears. You know, we've been following things closely since spring practice was shut down before it even started. The UVA sports media relations folks have done a great job keeping us in touch with both men's basketball and with the football team these last 5 months. God, I can't believe it's that long. I remember talking with, talking with and seeing the comments on the Zooms with Coach Mendenhall and others, both coaches and players, back in the spring, back in April and May, about the challenges of the time. I mean, we think about not only were players largely sent home from grounds. I mean, some guys who had off-campus, off-grounds housing, I assume, still stayed in Charlottesville, but the team was scattered to the winds. I mean, it's literally as far as Hawaii and Germany, I guess, in one case, and across the country. Brandon Armstrong is a native of Ohio. I remember jumping on a Zoom with him, and he was talking about trying to – I think he had a friend down the street, or no, his brother, who a younger brother who still plays high school football in Ohio at their local high school. A couple buddies, one of his buddies had a home gym, like a weight set in his garage, and that's where Brandon Armstrong worked out, was buddy's weight set in his garage. I believe it was Charles Snowden who said he didn't have a apparatus, and so he had to, you know, really adjust. And so the strength and conditioning staff had to adapt workouts, basically unique, one each for each person. Hey, what do you got? What do you have access to? And then let's figure out how we can keep you in shape. Not the same as obviously having access to a, you know, multi-million dollar training facility and, you know, the kind of stuff that Olympic athletes drool over in terms of strength conditioning, the training table, as they call it. This is pretty much what you and I have been doing in the last few months. Not having access to gyms and doing what we can. I've developed this great push-up work routine. I've got little weights down in my makeshift weight room down in my basement. I run a lot, I bike a lot. I mean, so I'm probably in the best shape of my life, to be honest, but I'm also not out there having to block, tackle, catch really fast guys or try to evade those guys like college athletes or college football players are, Power Five college football players are, guys who play in the Orange Bowl college football players are. And so, Bronco acknowledged challenges with conditioning as the season opener nears. That was the headline we had today or yesterday. And Bronco said, even with the expectations coming in that, you know, yeah, this isn't going to be quite the same as what we're used to. You know, we haven't been able to monitor guys for months and they haven't been, you know, lifting weights in a very professional environment. He said, even given that, he's been surprised. You know, I guess this is a year first for lots and lots of things, and including for college football coaches in terms of what their players were able to do. And a quote here, he said, it took a long time to get to where I thought baseline would be in terms of a normal return to camp. And that was about 3 weeks from game day, which would have been late, about a week and a half ago. And so things started to look relatively normal for like a normal reporting day. And so what Bronco said was, you know, a lot of things to think through. I mean, in terms of, all right, because they missed spring practice. I've noted they missed spring practice this year. So, you know, some schools had in fact played their spring games before COVID shut things down. And Virginia didn't even get a practice in just based on the scheduling. And so not only, you know, are you trying to get guys back in shape, but you're trying to work on the football part of things. And so, you know, with the limitations, I mean, you could half each, you could go all conditioning or more conditioning, I guess. Bronco said he's chosen not to add additional conditioning. He's chosen to do more acclimation and situational work, basically shell work. And actually playing the game. I mean, kind of getting fit through playing situational kind of things. 3rd and 3 to 20, let's play, let's go through this play. Probably more than I ever have. And he acknowledged it's not even like that's a given that that's going to be the greatest thing. I mean, we got to, just a couple days left, today being Monday, I guess we have this full week. And then at some point this week, actually, we'll have to figure that get a sense from the assistant coaches. But sometime this week, the focus will shift to game planning for Virginia Tech. Game plan implementation for Virginia Tech. I imagine that may happen Wednesday or Thursday. But, you know, there is more exposure. I mean, when you're just doing, you know, training drills when you're just, you know, conditioning sprints and things like that. I mean, guys can get hurt doing that too, but largely, you know, that's relatively injury free. When you're out using football to condition your guys, there's a chance, a much greater chance certainly of injury, and Bronco acknowledged that too. So really no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of what it is, but you know, there will be challenges. That will be something, of course, that every team has to deal with. And you know, what will be interesting, especially the first couple of weeks of the season, kind of like, you know, folks who keep up with our podcast, you know, the Street Knowledge show that we do, know that, you know, I do a regular podcast with Rod Mullins. We talk NASCAR. NASCAR has been back since May. But, you know, the first few weeks, it was interesting, you know, this being a different year in terms of preparations and that kind of thing. You know, the return, the first couple of weeks will be the most interesting, because this is your training philosophy for this unprecedented time versus the other coach's training philosophy during this unprecedented time. You know, that first week for Virginia and Virginia Tech both, that's the opener for both teams, September 19th, 12 days from now. It'll be the first chance that those two coaches will test their training philosophies. And you know, of course, the tweaking that comes afterwards, that's when I say, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks in, you know, kind of everybody will be on the same page. But those first couple weeks will be very interesting. It's going to be a challenge. And we're starting with a rival. Definitely a lot of this is the time maybe to catch teams unawares. And this rivalry game just kind of ramps that up even more, which is going to be very interesting to see that. Bronco talked also this past week, and we wrote a story, Bronco Mendenhall focusing on, quote, renewal to get through crazy busy 2020. What's interesting here is, you know, it was kind of breaking the walls down a bit, and I thought in a very good way. You know, I think as fans, certainly, you kind of think about your sports figures when season starts. You think, and that's when they come back to life. That's when they reanimate, right? You know, Bronco Mendenhall doesn't exist between, say, January and September, and then all of a sudden, there he is. The player's the same thing, right? Unless you happen to run into them somewhere, if you're in Charlottesville, whatever the case may be. But, you know, they work, I mean, you know, they may work harder in some cases in the offseason than they do during the season. But then there's also plenty of time in the offseason for breaks, and that's when it's key, because once the season ramps up, obviously there's, you know, it's a haul all the way through. And so, you know, Bronco talked with us about how difficult this year's been, more than other years, because the work that had to be done to build a virtual team, so to speak, a virtual team environment, so to speak. You know, all from everything, you know, they didn't have a spring practice. They had to, you know, and the players, of course, are spread out of the wind, as I said, making sure that they're, you know, doing their thing, going to class, making sure that they're doing their conditioning every day. Sort of a phone tree of sorts, a Zoom tree, I guess we can call it, because Zoom video conferencing was very important to this. You know, that kind of concept of, you know, the daily touches with position coaches, with coordinators, with other players, to just keep everybody sort of connected in that way. The effort that went into that meant there was really no break for the coaching staff, because, you know, you had to do this. Had to build this and kind of keep the engine running. And so Bronco talked about no vacation this year. Normally, at least coaches get some time off in July. This has been straight through from the Orange Bowl till now, because, of course, when you're from the Orange Bowl until Virginia's last game, as it turned out for the Hoos last year, through spring practice, you know, you're working on the after action kind of things. In some cases, exit interviews with players who've graduated or their eligibility is up, moving on. You're working on your finishing your recruiting class that comes up in early February. And then you spend, after recruiting's done, you spend the rest of that time getting ready for spring practice. And so they did all that. And then spring practice doesn't happen. Then they got to build something new and then run it. And then, of course, all the work, after, say, you know, sometime in May, of thinking through how practice is going to go in the COVID era, thinking through how you're going to do that kind of stuff. And so just no time off. And Bronco talked about how difficult that's been. Just personally, he said the uncertainty and what normal plans look like are out the window. You're in a constant state of readiness. You have to adapt every single day. The energy expenditure, not necessarily just the physical part, but the mental part, it's different. And we haven't even started the season yet. So you just can imagine how tough, you know, it's going to be for that coaching staff. I think it's 15, 16 guys. He said he's been working on carving out some time, some me time, as I called it. He was talking about roping some steers with his son one night last week, which was good. He said he tries to find an hour every day to do what he calls renewal. And I'm hopefully for you folks watching, you've been able to do the same thing. I know for me, my daily runs are that. I just jam out to music and go run on a greenway for an hour and don't even think about the world. That's, you know, got to recharge. And so, hey, your favorite football coach, same way, got to go out and recharge. So there's that from that standpoint from Bronco. And wanted to get into at least one more UVA football story before we kind of wrap things up for this particular show, my return after scattering a bit the last few weeks. We moved into a new home. I think, of course, folks who've followed our podcast even through the transition kind of remember that story. That's why we're in a new podcast studio for those who were kind of just maybe took the summer off and getting back with us. Things look a little different behind me. So we kept some things up. They've kind of been ramping up for the start of fall sports, honestly. Now trying to get back in the swing of it here, right? So I'll talk more, you know, this week we'll kind of focus on the different units. Today we talked a lot about the offense. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the defense. As we roll through our preview week here, I'll talk about some thoughts on Virginia being underestimated, in my opinion, by the writers. But I got to set the table here for that, so I'll talk about it right here. I got to vote. We all voted. 134 votes were cast in the preseason balloting from ACC sports media folks. Clemson, no surprise, 132 of the 134 votes for first this year. This year, no divisions. It's a 15-team ACC, including Notre Dame this year. So Virginia will be the defending coastal champs for another year, kind of like we've been defending national basketball champs for an extra year. Clemson picked preseason number one, no surprise. Notre Dame, second. I voted Notre Dame second. And then Carolina was third. I'm trying to think, did I have Carolina third? I probably did have Carolina third. And then I had Miami fourth, Virginia fifth. The consensus of the media had Louisville, Virginia Tech, Miami. Virginia ninth. That's going to be a whole podcast about how Virginia is being underestimated. Trevor Lawrence named preseason player of the year. Travis Etienne, he's the two-time defending player of the year, came back for his senior season. He was second. You know, that says a lot about that backfield, right? Those two guys have led Clemson to a combined 29-1 record the last two seasons. What else? No Virginia guys on the first team. And that's all we get preseason as a first team, offense, defense, and special teams. No Virginia guys. That kind of surprised me there. I thought at least a linebacker, I'll preview tomorrow listening today in with Nick Howell, co-defensive coordinator. His guys don't put up great stats because the Virginia defense isn't oriented to put up great stats. You know, the Mike London defense, that era, you know, Quinn Blanding and Micah Kaiser put up huge numbers in tackles. This defense just swarms so much that nobody gets a lot of tackles. Charles Snowden, who's your best pass rusher, maybe one of the best edge linebacker pass rushers in the country, he doesn't rack up a lot of sacks because he's used why am I forgetting the name here? The other edge linebacker, not Nick Jackson, because Nick Jackson's a middle linebacker. Noah Taylor, sorry, brain freeze here. Two edge guys, 167, 230, 165, 215. The way it's designed and the way the plays are called, those two guys are as likely to rush quarterback as a drop back in coverage. Think of the play last year, Noah Taylor, the interception that led to the game winning points in the Virginia Tech game. You know, you've got your 6'5", 220-pound edge rusher linebacker dropping 20 yards downfield in coverage on a 3rd and 18 play, intercepts the ball at the third down marker, first down marker, and Hendon Hooker never saw him. I mean, that's what Virginia's able to do. But as a result of that, you know, those two guys aren't, you know, cracking down on the quarterback every play, and they're not going to rack up the big sack numbers. And so maybe that's part of the factor here. I don't know, because that Virginia defense, okay, I'm already previewing my my Virginia's underestimated street knowledge coming up later this week. But, you know, just because they don't put up the big numbers doesn't mean that those guys aren't studs. And so anyway, no Virginia guys on the first team. We'll have to just live with that, and we'll kind of move on. That's okay. We'll have some fun coming up later this week, I guess, is the sum of where we are right now. So I think I'll call it a day here on Street Knowledge. Return on Labor Day. And again, we would have been getting ready for UVA, Georgia. I was looking forward to that game for only about 2.5 years. But, hey, you know, we were looking forward to a lot, and that's okay. We have Virginia Tech to start the season now in 12 days. That's something good to look forward to. Hey, we'll be back this week. Of course, we'll be talking more UVA football this week. I'll have Rod Mullins on. We'll see if we can track down Scott German. He's also been in and out of the OBX area the last few weeks. So if I can get him near a phone and away from a beach with a drink with a fruity drink with an umbrella in it, see if we can track Scott down, get his thoughts on things. In the meantime, thank you for joining us here on our show. We really appreciate you. And if you have questions for me to maybe address in a future show, drop me an email, augustafreepress2@gmail.com. Comment here on Facebook. Comment on the Podbean at Twitter, at augfreepress, A-U-G Free Press. Lots of ways to get in touch. No excuse for you not to be able to get in touch. And love to hear from you. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us today. And we will talk to you again soon.